Bob, would you please answer the door?
Okay, Mom. Oh, hello, Dr. Sims. Come in.
Good evening, Bob. So you've really done some growing up since I saw you last.
Oh, I guess I have. Let me have your hat and coat. Mom and Dad are in the living room.
Thanks, Bob.
Hello, Dr. Sims.
Good evening, Dr. Sims.
Good evening, Mary. Hi, John. Good to see you again.
Would you like to sit over here, Doctor?
Thank you. I was just telling Bob how quickly he's growing up.
He sure is. We have a hard time keeping him in clothes. That's why we sent for you, Doctor, to talk to Bob about growing up. He asked us some questions the other night that, well, we didn't feel qualified to answer.
Well, Bob, I'm certainly glad to hear that you went to your mother and father for information. In fact, the best advice I can ever give you is this. Whenever you have questions about growing up, go to your mother and father. You see, Bob, your parents love you very much. They are interested in everything about you, and they want you to grow up to be a fine young man. So have confidence in them. Feel free to ask them about this matter of growing up, rather than talking it over with the fellows. Don't forget, your parents were once your age and went through the experience of growing up, too. Yes, it won't be long before you start shaving, and your voice will change and get deeper. And you won't be a boy anymore, but a man.
Some of the older fellas shave already, and they act so goofy around girls.
Yeah, well, that's perfectly normal, Bob, and believe it or not, the day will come when you'll pay more attention to the girls. Only you won't think you're acting goofy at all. But about those boys who shave and those who don't, you see, they're all in the process of growing up. It's just that it takes some boys longer to grow up than others.
What's wrong with the ones that are slow?
Well, there's nothing wrong with them, Bob. It's all perfectly natural. In fact, it's common for a youngster who seems to be way behind his friends to suddenly shoot up and pass those same friends a year or so later. And you've probably noticed that girls grow up faster than boys.
Yeah, some of the girls in my room in school are taller than I am.
That's right, but don't let it bother you. You'll catch up with them. There's nothing you can do to hurry up this growing up process, nor can you slow it down. Now, Bob, I want to ask you a question. When do you think you began life?
When I was born?
That certainly is the way we look at it in this country. But did you know that in some countries like, oh, China, for example, people consider a baby to be a full year old on the day it's born?
Why is that?
Because actually the baby is alive for quite a long time before it comes into the world. I've brought some drawings so that you can actually see the things I'm going to describe. Now let's look at drawing one in this booklet. You see this, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
You see, you lived in your mother's body for 9 months before you were born, just as you see here in drawing one. Now when a woman has a baby inside her body, we say that she is pregnant. When your mother became pregnant with you, Bob, you started out as a very small being. Oh, hundreds of times smaller than the head of a pin. But then you began to grow, so that after your mother was pregnant with you for 6 weeks, you were a third of an inch long, as you see in the first figure here in drawing two.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And you weighed only 1/30 of an ounce. Isn't that amazing? In the second figure, you see how you looked when you were 28 weeks old. And here in the third figure, this is how you looked when you were ready to leave your mother's body and be born.
So I'm really 9 months older than I thought I was.
That's right, Bob. Now, do you have any questions?
Well, how did I get out of my mom's body?
Well, Bob, just before you were born, your dad took your mother to the hospital. And everything was gotten ready for your grand entrance into the world. I was there too, Bob, to help bring you into the world. Now look at drawing number three. You see, there's an opening in your mother's body, between her legs, that can expand a great deal, so that you were able to come out of that opening. Now this is the wonderful thing called birth. Bob, I've brought hundreds of babies into the world, and each time I'm amazed at the wonderful thing that happens. After you were born, I put you in your mother's arms. She was the very first one to hold you. You know what, Bob? Your mother cried.
Why?
Well, because she was so happy. She was so happy to have you after waiting these long 9 months. And she kept kissing you and hugging you. And your dad, wow, was he happy and proud, too. He told all the people at work about you and gave all the men cigars because he was so proud to have you for a son.
Doctor, would you tell Bob how I fed him?
Yes. Look at drawing four here. You see, Bob, When a woman has a baby, her breasts manufacture milk. And here, you see the baby receiving milk from its mother's breast. Now, that's why women's breasts are much larger than men's. And the milk is just the right kind of food a baby needs. Whenever you were hungry, your mother held you to her breast and fed you. Isn't this wonderful, Bob?
It sure is.
Later on, when you were stronger, your mother fed you baby food, and her breast stopped manufacturing milk. And all the time that you were a baby, your mother and father took care of you because you weren't able to take care of yourself. They have watched you grow until you are as big as you are now. They have always been interested in your growing up. They look forward to the day when you will be a full-grown man. I think that after hearing all this, Bob, you will love your parents more than ever because you will realize how much they have done for you. And they did it all out of love for you.
Gosh.
They called me up the day you said your first word and the day you took your first steps. Bob, they were so proud of you. They're proud of you today, too. So when you have problems or questions about anything, go to your mother and father for the answers. Now, Bob, do you have any questions you want to ask me?
Well, yes, Doctor. I don't understand how the baby gets into the mother's body.
Well, that's a good question, Bob. I'll answer it briefly now. You see, the mother's body produces a very tiny egg, and the father's body produces a seed. When the father places his seed in the mother's body, and the seed and egg get together, a baby begins to live in the mother's body.
I don't understand, Doctor.
Well, Bob, in order for you to understand how this happens, let's get back to talking about your growing up. Now look at drawing number 5. You see? Now, these are your sex organs. As you know, the penis is used mostly to get rid of waste liquid from your body when you go to the bathroom. The penis is made up largely of a special tissue that is full of small pockets. Oh, something like sponge material. Now, sometimes blood is pumped from the arteries into this material. And this makes the penis get larger and become hard, and you experience what is called an erection. I will explain the reason for erection later on. Do you understand what I'm talking about, Bob?
Yes, Doctor.
The testicles here are very sensitive organs, and if you've ever been hit there while playing a game, you know how they can hurt. So that's the reason why you should wear an athletic supporter when you're playing football or baseball or any other strenuous sport.
Oh, so that's why guys wear jock straps.
Yes, that's right, Bob.
What are the testicles for?
Well, when you are 13 or 14, you will start growing a mustache and you'll have to start shaving. And it's because of the testicles that this happens. And hair will start growing under your arms and around your sex organs. And your voice will get deeper and become like a man's voice. And your shoulders will get broader and your muscles will get bigger. And you become a man. And it's the testicles that produce the seed, which you see in drawing number 6. See here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said, when the father places the seed in the mother's body and the seed meets the egg, a new baby begins to exist. Do you understand, Bob?
Yes, Doctor, but I don't understand how the seed gets into the mother's body.
Well, Bob, as you grow up and develop as a man, you eventually will be attracted to a certain woman. You will fall in love with her and finally decide you are willing to spend your lives together, to share all your hopes and dreams, just as your mother and father are doing. Do you know what love is, Bob?
Well, I'm not sure.
Love is a strong feeling we have within us for another person that makes us want to be with that person all the time and to do things for him or her. Love is what makes your father willing to work hard all day to earn a living for you and your mother. It's what makes your mother willing to keep house and do all the work she must do to help you grow up. They both love you, and you love them, and they love each other. But there's a part of their love for each other that is different from their love for you. It's a very special kind of love that happens only when they are by themselves. And that's the kind of love you will have for the girl that you will marry someday. Now, this kind of love between a man and a woman causes the penis to become hard and erect, so that he can put it inside that opening in the woman's body, the same opening that the baby comes out of. Then the seed comes out of the penis and goes to meet the egg. So you see, Bob, becoming a parent, having a baby, is an act of love, an act of marriage.
Doctor, I wish you would explain a little bit more about erection.
Yes, John. Well, the penis becomes hard and erect as a result of two things. One is a reaction due to the building up of seed in the sex organs in the boy or man. And the second is a reaction to something physical or something you see or think about, and then you have an erection. You don't cause it. It just happens, and there's nothing to be worried about.
Well, I don't understand what you mean by a buildup of seed.
Well, every once in a while, a boy will have what we call a wet dream. This means that sometimes when you are sleeping, the penis will become erect at night and discharge an overflow of seed without any action on your part. And this is often accompanied by dreams. What is happening is perfectly normal. The sex organs have built up an oversupply of seed, and your body takes this action to get rid of it as a sort of safety valve. So don't worry about it if some morning you wake up and find your pajamas are wet with this seed. It's a perfectly normal thing.
Dr. Sims, would you explain masturbation to Bob?
Yes, Bob. This word masturbation simply means that a boy or girl will rub his or her sex organs, causing a sensation of pleasure. Now, physically, no harm comes from this practice of handling one's sex organs. However, although there is no physical danger, there is a moral side to it. A boy may have feelings of guilt about masturbation, which may cause serious problems.
What should a boy do about these guilt feelings, Doctor?
The best advice I can give in this regard is for the boy to discuss these guilt feelings with his parents, or may see his minister, priest, or rabbi. These people are trained to discuss the moral aspects in such a way that the youngster can understand the problem more clearly. Bob, what do you know about girls?
Well, gosh, Doctor, they're a lot different than boys.
In what way, Bob?
Well, girls wear dresses and boys wear pants. Let's see. Girls have long hair and boys have short hair. Girls play silly games. Boys play good games like football and baseball and basketball. And girls giggle a lot and say goofy things.
Yes. And what about older girls and women?
Well, like you said, they have bigger breasts so that when they have babies, they can feed them with milk.
Very good, Bob. Let's look at some differences in drawing number 7 here. Now, little boys and little girls don't look much different. But as they grow up, the changes in the body occur. And this is how they differ. Now, starting at the top, as you know, a man has a beard and has to shave every day. Mm-hmm. And you notice that a man has wider shoulders than a woman, but a woman's breasts are bigger, as you just said. Then you'll notice that a woman's hips are wider than a man's. That's so that she can carry the baby inside her body. Then you notice that a woman doesn't have a penis or testicles like you do. Her organs are inside her body, as we will see. Now look at drawing number 8. Where you have a penis and testicles, a woman has 2 folds of skin. And if you were to separate these 2 folds, you would see, as here in figure 9, 2 openings. Mm-hmm. One is used for getting rid of waste liquid when she goes to the bathroom, just like the opening at the end of your penis. And below that is a larger opening called the vagina. As I told you before, the vagina is capable of being stretched a great deal. And this is where the baby comes out, as you saw before. And it is in the vagina that the man puts his penis to deposit the seed when the husband and wife perform that special act of love that we talked about before. This is called sexual intercourse. I'll bet that you often wondered what girls and women looked like, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Doctor.
Well, that's all there is to it. No great mystery now, is there?
No, Doctor.
Now let us look at the woman's organs inside her body, as in drawing 10. Now, instead of testicles, a woman has 2 organs called ovaries. Just as a man's testicles produce the seed, so also the ovaries produce the egg. About every 28 days or so, an egg leaves one of the ovaries and travels through a small tube. And there, if the seed from the man meets the egg here in the tube, then a baby is formed, as I told you before. And you'll remember that it is very, very small. Oh, hundreds of times smaller than the head of a pin. And then it passes down through the tube into this organ, which is called the womb. And it's in the womb that the baby grows. Usually about 9 months later, the baby forces its way out of the womb through the vagina to the outside world. Now, do you have any questions, Bob?
Yes, Doctor. I'd like to know what the belly button is for.
Good question. Now, here in drawing 11, you see? Here you see the baby in the womb. Notice the cord which goes from the baby's stomach to the wall of the womb. Now, through this cord goes the food which the baby will need to grow strong. The doctor cuts this cord after the baby is born. But this doesn't hurt either the baby or its mother because there is no feeling in the cord. It's just like clipping off your fingernails. But you can always remember how your mother fed you before you were born, because just about in the center of your stomach is the place where the cord was attached to you. That's your belly button or navel.
Gee whiz.
Doctor, do you think Bob should know something about menstruation?
Yes, Mary, I think he should. Let's look at drawing 12. As I told you, Bob, about every 28 days, the ovaries produce an egg which travels through the tube. If no seed has reached it, then the woman will not become pregnant. There will be no baby. Yet in the meantime, the lining of the womb has been getting ready for the baby. That is, a special layer of blood and tissue has been building up in the womb, forming a sort of soft little nest where the egg, if it had been met by a seed, would attach itself and grow into a baby. But with no egg growing in the womb, there isn't any need for the special lining of tissue and blood. So it flows out of the body through the vagina. Now, this is called menstruation. And in girls, this starts when they are usually around 10 or 11 years old and happens about every 28 days. Of course, it doesn't happen when there is a baby in the womb. I suppose, Bob, that you've wondered about sanitary napkins and what they're for, haven't you?
Yes, I have, Doctor.
Well, Bob, these sanitary napkins are used to absorb the menstrual flow as it comes out of the vagina, as you see here in drawing 13. A girl's menstruation usually lasts from 3 to 5 days. Bob, it is important for you to understand that during this time, a girl or a woman may not feel too well, and she may become tense and easily upset. If you realize that she feels this way because of what's going on in her body, you will be much more understanding and considerate in how you treat her at these times.
Mm-hmm. Well, Doctor, this certainly was a very interesting and informative session. Mary, Bob, and I will always be grateful to you for this.
Hey, Mom, can we have some of that cake you baked this afternoon?
We sure can. Dr. Sims, would you stay and have a piece of cake with us?
Thank you very much. I'd like to. Well, Bob, that's about it. But before we have the cake, I want to repeat something that I think is very important. It's that you should always go to your mother and father when you have questions.
Well, I think that after tonight's discussion, Bob won't feel embarrassed about coming to us, will you, Bob?
Not anymore, Dad. I feel a lot better about it now. Sometimes when the guys are talking about girls and stuff, most of them don't know what they're talking about.
You're right, Bob. That's why when they start talking about sex, you should change the subject to sports or something else. They probably don't know as much about it as you do now. But even you won't remember everything we talked about tonight. So again, it's better that you talk to your mother and father about these things. As I said earlier, they have both gone through this experience of growing up, and they understand how you feel. And remember, they love you very much, and they want you to grow up right. You're no longer a little boy, and soon you will be a man. It won't be long before you will be shaving. You should be proud that you will be a man. In the meantime, this business of growing up shouldn't be any problem for you if you stay close to your mother and father. Now, let's get to that cake.
Hello?
Is Dr. Sims there?
Yes, he is. Just a moment, please. It's for you, Dr. Sims.
Well, thanks, Bob. Hello, this is Dr. Sims.
You're needed at the hospital, Doctor. Mrs. Jones is almost ready to deliver.
Oh, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry I have to leave. That was the hospital. A baby wants to be born tonight, and I have to go help. Bob, would you get my hat and coat?
Sure, Doctor.
I'm so sorry you can't stay for coffee and cake.
I am too, Mary. Perhaps next time.
Thanks for talking to me, Doctor.
You're very welcome. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night, Doctor.